In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What a gruesome gospel lesson, isn't it? Isn't that horrible? Just horrific to read it and to imagine anybody being so cruel and thoughtless. As I look through the lessons today, including this one, the issue that just jumped out at me so strongly was how the different characters in these different sections of our Bible managed self-esteem. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is self-esteem. In Amos, we see great humility. He was challenged. So who are you, a prophet? Go back and prophesy somewhere else. We don't want you here. And his response was, I don't claim to be a prophet. I'm a herdsman, and I'm somebody who trims sycamore trees. But I do feel compelled to speak the words God has given me to speak. And so he was operating not from a place of saying, here's the power I have, but the humility of saying, I have no choice but to speak the words God has given me. In opposition to that, we see the amazing, strong pride that motivated Herod to execute John the Baptist. Well, to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to is called pride. And so we are taught to show humility. And I was certainly raised that way. I was expected to show humility. And it was to the point, and it was so strongly taught, that I had this struggle for a good part of my young adult life through childhood and into my 30s, dealing with this issue of pride and humility. And it took me a long time to work it out. I was told by my father in very clear terms to never claim that I was good at anything. I should never state that I'm good at something, because that was bragging. And bragging meant that I was expressing prideful arrogance, and I was self-centered. And I ended up taking that idea to mean that I should never think I'm good at anything either. Not only should I not say it to somebody else, but I should never consider myself as really being good at anything. And that was something that I carried into my work life, or at least I entered into my work life that way. And for years, I was really careful that I would not ever attempt to tell my manager or my coworkers or my family at home about something that I thought was a good accomplishment that I'd done at work. I should never do that. What should happen instead is that I should be very quiet, I should work extremely hard, and my management would just be so blown away about the great job I'd do that they would just beg me to be the next president of the company. Well, I found out that's not how life works, and that's not how a career path works. And I learned I was not going to get anywhere with that attitude. My father's attempt to keep me from being prideful led to my having no self-esteem. You get that? To avoid being prideful, I ended up feeling I should never have any self-esteem. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think it's something a lot of us deal with. We reject all pride, and we end up with no self-esteem. So how do we handle this issue of pride, this issue of humility as Christians? How do we deal with that spectrum that we need to somehow find how we handle it correctly as Christians? And that's what I'd like to look at these lessons today to explore. Notice the difference here, or a common thread, rather. Jesus was sentenced to death by Pilate. even after Pilate had stated that he found no reason to execute Jesus. Remember that? He felt no reason. What really happened, in fact, he even washed his hands of the affair, saying this judgment was up to the crowd. But in the end, his self-esteem as governor said that he needed to do what the crowd was begging for. The crowd was pressuring Pilate to execute Jesus, and he agreed in order to pacify them. Pilate was motivated really to protect his own ego. That's what motivated him to execute Jesus. Then we look at John, who was sentenced to death by Herod, even though Herod respected John. It said in today's scripture that he knew that John was a good and a holy man. He was protecting John. He liked to listen to John's sermons. But in the end, it was his high self-esteem that got the best of him. His niece and his wife and his guests pressured Herod into executing John, because otherwise he would have to break the promise that he'd made to Herodias, which was a completely ridiculous promise anyways. Remember, he said he would give Herodias half of his kingdom? Well, think about who King Herod was. He was a puppet put in place by the Roman government to look over the people of Judah, of Jerusalem, and the kingdom wasn't his to give. It was all property of Rome. And so for him to say, I'll give you half of my kingdom, he had no kingdom to give away. And so all of the violence that followed for him to protect his ego was over nothing. It was over nothing but his own ego. Consider for a minute John the Baptist. His sermons were bold. He challenged people to examine their lives. He attacked Herod for his marriage to his brother's wife, a marriage that was strictly forbidden by Jewish law. John had been absolutely sure of his role as a prophet. You can tell by the language he used at the Jordan River when he would preach that he was very proud of his assignment that God had given him to be a prophet. But he was ready in an instant to humbly submit to the greater message Jesus was giving. He knew that his pride was not based in what he was, but in what God sent him to deliver. And as soon as there was a greater message being delivered by Jesus, John immediately backed away. I think this is a key to holding a healthy form of pride, because you and I are being asked to be proud about the gifts God's given us, not proud about who we are, but proud about what gifts God's given us. And probably more importantly, are we proud of the use we are making of the gifts God is giving us? It's a pride centered in what God gives us and what we do with it. Earlier I said that to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to is called pride. I think there's another danger in thinking less of ourselves than we ought to, because that's wasting God's gifts. If we understand all this to be what we're doing with God's gifts, if we have this false humility, it's really wasting God's gifts. It's a failure to use the unique set of skills and talents that God's giving each of us. And the purpose of that is so that when you and I get together as a faith community, your gifts and my gifts combine so that we can transform the world. We can transform our neighborhood. We can transform our family when we work together as the body of Christ. In 1 Peter, God has given gifts to each of you. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. My brothers and I were taught from an early age that any form of self-esteem was arrogance. It was false pride, and it was wrong. And it took me 30 years to learn that some forms of pride are healthy and important. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? No, it is to bring glory to God. That's Paul speaking. saying it's not his pride. It's pride in what God is asking Paul to do. He was teaching if we're to have pride in anything at all, we should be taking pride in what God is doing for us and what situations and skills God gives us and what we are doing with those gifts. You and I have accomplished so many amazing, exciting things over the last year and a half that I've been here with you. I enjoy this so much. And it would be so easy for you and me to take personal pride in the improvements we've made and in the ministries we've expanded and in the impact we've had in the Virgin Islands and at Chamberlain's and different places that we have done work. But as Mark stressed last week in the story of sending out the disciples two by two, he sent out the disciples to represent Jesus, not to represent themselves. He sent them out to preach God, not to boast about what amazing things they could do with their gifts of healing. You and I need to avoid false humility because it wastes God's gifts and it limits you and me living out the life that God has created us to live out. Our Christian values direct us to examine our own self-esteem and keep a healthy balance of humility and pride. So we wrap all this up by saying, what is the balance of humility and pride? I think humility is knowing God is God and we're not. Right? Humility is God is God and we're not. And pride is knowing that God chose you and me before the foundation of the world, as Paul quoted in today's lesson. God created you and me before the foundation of the world to use us, to transform other people's lives. When our pride is in God, forgiveness happens, grace happens, love happens, and miracles happen. Amen.